Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see y'all out in the house of the Lord this morning. Summer's fading away, right? So enjoy every day of it. But Father, I truly do thank you and I give you honor and glory for all those that came out in your house this morning to receive something new from you, Lord. We have let go of the old and now we are ready to receive the new. And Father God, we just send special prayers out for all those who are having problems in their life and just can't seem to quite get it together enough to come into your house and ask your forgiveness. And we also thank you, Father God, for the angelic host or with the people who lost their loved ones this weekend. We thank you, Father God, that you are on your throne and you are doing a great and a mighty works, even if we can't see it. And we give you honor and glory this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Whole lot of activity going on everywhere we go, right? Yeah, there's a whole, you know, you have all kind of media out there to look at, all kind of junk they're putting on the media, lies. And one thing, if you're a leader, if you're a child of God, one thing you won't do is you won't entertain that junk. If you're a child of God, they're going to say all manner of evil about you. If you're holding a position of any type, they're just going to smear your name all over the place. And if you're wondering why you're not being blessed by God, you need to ask yourself, am I judging one of God's children? I see junk all the time. Something come up my email this morning saying Joel Osteen was leaving this church. That's not true. But, you know, a lot of people will believe that. And, you know, and they say that Chris Tomlin is a demon with a guitar. All kind of junk like that about God's children. You need to quit reading that kind of junk or God's going to judge you for that. Another thing that's going on is this racist thing. If you're a child of God, you should not get involved with that in any way, shape, or form. The word discrimination should never leave your lips, never. You need to understand that you're a child of God. You're being fought by the devil, and he's going to take you out. And if you're going to fall for his lies, then, you know, you're in trouble. But God told me about 20 years ago there was going to be a racist battle in America, and there was going to be martial law brought in. And I'm hoping this is not the time that that's going to happen. We're all the same. My blood the same as your blood. You know, I might be whiter than you are, darker. My kids say, you need to get out in the sun. You're just plum white. But, you know, who cares? Who cares? God created each and every one of us. And if you're into that thing about the racist thing, then you're also in trouble. And they're really building that up right now. So I just had to bring those two things out because it's really running rampant out there. And I don't want none of you to get caught up in that. All right, and please don't be judging your brothers and sisters. Please don't be believing what you're reading whenever they say all manner of evil about one of God's children. We are who we are. We all have different personalities. God uses us in different ways. And know that you're anointed of God until you start judging God's children. At that point, you've lost your anointing and your whole lot of trouble with God. Amen. Come on now. God wants to talk about the battlefield this morning. Now, the battlefield is a place where a battle is being fought or has been fought in the past. In the Bible, Christianity is compared to warfare. It is a very real aspect of the way that those who follow Christ must live. Those who desire to live this way will face many battles. Battles that must be won if we are to make it into the kingdom of God. There is effort involved. Energy must be expended in the day-to-day life of a true Christian. I want to stop there. You know, a lot of you have ministries. And if right now you're trying to figure out what God's doing with your ministry, you're not in a boat alone. Because God has said, I went into prayer about this about 4 o'clock this morning. God said he has taken all the old out. And we're void of the old, and now he's bringing in the new. And we're still in the transition stage, and a lot of God's children are losing hope and are getting discouraged, and they're just falling away. I don't want you to lose hope. I don't want you to get discouraged, because God is bringing you into the new, and the new is far greater than the old. And God even said a lot of people are trying to go back and do what they used to do because of the results it brought, and he said they're losing out on God. So don't even try to go back there and relive the past in God, because it's causing you not to go into the future. All right? Be content in whatever state you're in right now. You see, I'm going through this battle right now. God, what are you doing with me? What are you doing with the church? What are you doing with the people? You know, because so many things are, there's a whole lot of things going on right now, right here in this little church, and then also in all the other churches. And I was saying to God, what are you doing? You know, and so he said, and he spoke to me, and we're just really in transition, and we're going to be pleased with the result. But he said, please, whatever you do, don't keep wanting to go back to where you came from. All right. God says, children, there are many battlefields in this life that you will partake of. And I am here this day to instruct you how to come through all the battles that you will encounter. Children, there are many battlefields in this life that you will partake of. And I'm here this day to instruct you how to come through all the battles that you will encounter. And Luke 14:28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? See, too many people are going into ministry without counting the cost of what it's going to cost him. I don't mean money-wise, but it's going to cost you in Christ, and you're not really getting the battle plan in order to do the things that God has called you for to do and win. Then God goes on to say, before every battlefield encounter, there must be a meeting of the minds and draw up a battle plan. I will be with you at all times, and I will sit down with you, and I will draw up the battle plans as I did for Joshua, Moses, Caleb, and many more in my word. And see, that's another thing. I'm saying, God, I don't know what you're doing. You need to tell me what we're doing so that I know where I'm going. See, I didn't realize it then, but I'm drawing up battle plans right now with God. Tell me what it is that you're wanting me to do. Each one of you have to do that. You have to get before God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Now, God said, I will be with you at all times, and I will sit down with you, and I will draw up the battle plans as I did for Joshua, Moses, Caleb, and many more in my word. Now, every good soldier will study his enemy to determine his strengths and weaknesses. And to be able to defeat the enemy, he must know how to correctly use with overwhelming force the weapons at his disposal. You're going to have to sit down and figure out, what is the devil doing to me? And then you're going to have to get instructions from God what weapons of warfare that he wants you to use. All right, there's a situation in my life, not in my home, but in my life, and God says, I know this is upsetting you, but I know exactly how to handle this situation. You don't. And he said, be still. That's my battle plan. Be still while he works this thing out. Are you understanding this? See, because I took it to God, and this is what he told me. When I never know what I'm doing, and I always have to take it to God, but when I'm really confused, I really get really serious with God and say, now you and I have to have a talk. Because things are not going very well right now. All right? Now, God said, the problem is, my children of this hour will not trust me with the battle, and they will not heed to my warnings when the enemy is near, and they will definitely not take time to sit at my feet as I show them the exact battle plan. There's different things in each one of our lives that we're trying to take care of. And if we don't trust God with those things, we're going to do the wrong thing and we're going to lose the battle. But God said, my children of this hour will not trust me with the battle. So right now I want you to turn that battle over to God, and they will not heed to my warnings when the enemy is near. You know, God will tell you what the enemy is doing, and they will definitely not take time to sit at my feet as I show them the exact battle plan. You should never make your own plans. You should all be set at the feet of Jesus. And you need to have God tell you exactly how to work everything out. Remember that remember that the reward is eternal life. That's what we're working towards. The battle is well worth this effort. We dare not let this goal slip away. Notice this admonition from the Word of God in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Take note of the powerful verbs used here. It's their fight, lay hold. Fight, lay hold. Urging Christians to take action and put forth effort. No one can sit idly by and expect to win the Christian fight. We must always be ready to bravely defend our position. Now, I'm going to stop there. Drugs and alcohol are really running rampant in everybody's home. And, you know, we have to sit by and watch our children go down a wrong road, watch it, knowing the devastation they're going to encounter. And yesterday I was just sitting and my heart was hurting over what I'm watching, and I just started crying, and God said very, very adamantly, they will serve me. They will serve me. You be still. They will serve me. So I can't tell them how to do their life. I can't keep sticking my nose in their business. The only thing I can do is let God have control. So if some of you going through those kinds of battles, God already knows the outcome. And if you'll sit in his presence, he's going to tell you what to do. And he'll probably tell you, get your nose out, get your hands off, and let me do what I do best. All right? Now, God said, why are you so dry and thirsty when I have rivers of living water for you to drink from? The fountain of waters that I provide will never run dry, and I am the source and the supplier of this water. And John 4:14 says, Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And Deuteronomy 3:16 says, now I don't want to go there yet. God says, why are you so dry and thirsty when I have rivers of living waters for you to drink from? And what he's saying here is, when you don't come to him and seek his face for every situation in your life, then the Holy Spirit is waning in your life. And you don't have the Holy Spirit to its fullness, and you're relying on your intellect, which is no good, to take care of a situation that you have encountered or are encountering. All right? And God's saying to you, why are you so thirsty and dry? You need to go back to God, and you need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit. I always say, redip me, Lord. You know, and I know that I know when I'm getting dry. And I'll say, God, just redip me, because I might want to stick my nose into this stuff that I need to keep my nose out of. Are you hearing me here? Then Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. This is God speaking. For it is I, the Lord, your God, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And God is talking to Joshua here, I think. Then God says, all through my word, I was there, and I instructed all of my children, how to fight the battle, when to fight the battle, and what weapons of warfare to use for each and every battle. And I'm hearing God say right now, if you don't learn this lesson this morning, your boat is going to sink. And you're going to have to swim to shore on your own efforts. I've given you instructions. Now follow my instructions. And my instructions are, seek me first before you do anything, and I will instruct you on how to follow through. Here, God said, children, I so desire for you to never, ever lose another battle in your lifetime. I so desire for you to come into my presence and seek my face until... See what he says? I so desire for you to come into my presence, seek my face until you have every step of the battle under your belt. And the enemy will never be able to come steal the battle plans from you with his spirits of doubt and unbelief. Stay in God's presence so you have the battle plan under your belt. In other words, that you know that you know you know exactly what your part is and what God's part is. And your part usually is be quiet, sit still. I'm working on your behalf. That's usually the battle plan. Then God said, children, if I said it would happen in a certain way, then it will happen that way. Your part in this battle is to trust and believe in every word I have ever spoken over you, over and to you. As I have spoken over your lives, I promise I will never leave one jot nor tittle left undone. And you find that Matthew 5:18. Let's read that again. Children, if I said it would happen in a certain way, then it will happen that way. You're trying to make it happen another way. All right? Your part in this battle is to trust and believe in every word I have ever spoken over and to you. Go back to your prophetic words. See what God has said to you. Then he says, as I have spoken over your lives, I promise I will never leave one jot nor tittle left undone. In other words, he's going to do everything he told you he's going to do. It's going to happen exactly like he said it's going to happen. And as I was dressing this morning, God said, and you tell them it's not going to take 10 years to get the answer. I don't have 10 years to fool around. When I give them a prophetic word, it's going to happen now in this season. Not 10 years down the road. You know, before it was always, I'd hear somebody come back 10 years later. Everything you told me has come to pass. But he said, we don't have time for that now. We have a perfect work that we have to do now. All right. And 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. In other words, people didn't believe the prophetic word that was spoken over them, and they put their hand into the mix and messed everything up. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, I know I'm not going to die because God said I would not. And I know he's going to heal me. So that was a prophetic word that God personally spoke to me. And so that's what I hold on to, and that's what I wage my warfare with. Satan, you're a liar. Body, you're a liar, Jesus said. All right? That's how you wage the good warfare. You tell the enemy and your body or your mind, whatever it is, what God has spoken. Either it's over you, over your loved ones, or whatever. Don't forget what God has spoken over you. It is going to come to pass. Then God went on to say, yes, you have been in one battle after another. And there were many times when you became battle weary and wanted to sit down and quit. A lot of us can say amen to that. It was in those times that I was right there beside you. And I was holding up your arms. And I was whispering in your ears, keep going. Don't quit. I'm with you in all things. Keep going. Keep going. And whatever you do, don't quit. How many of you, if you really hear God's voice, you've heard him say to you, don't quit. Don't sit down. Don't let anybody steal your crown. Keep going. Those are the things that God has spoken to me over and over again over the years. Has he not you? And that's what's kept you going, has it not? God, if he's spoken a word over you, he's going to see it come to pass, and he's going to encourage you when he sees you're battle weary. He's going to bring encouragement to you in one way, shape, or form. And I'm always glad when he does it through his own still small voice. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul's talking to Timothy, but he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Every one of us in here are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, right? Then we have to endure hardship. said, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." In other words, when you're in warfare, you don't get entangled with what the devil's trying to tell you or what other people are trying to say to you. You stay in your warfare with God and you win this fight. Quit giving in to the enemy. Quit giving in to your flesh. A lot of it is the flesh, and we say it's a devil, but it's really our flesh that we're giving into. Quit giving into it. God said, "The trumpet blast has been sounded, and the heavenly hosts are at attention, and they are very secure in their battle plans. They know each and every step to take, and they will not stumble nor fall, and they will stand in the midst of the biggest battle and win that battle for you." What's he say? The trumpet blast has been sounded, and the heavenly hosts are at attention. They are very secure in their battle plans. The angels, God has already talked to the angels. God has already told them what kind of battle you're going to go through. He already told them what to do so you could win the battle. Now, if you don't believe that, then you're going to lose all your battles. God is fighting our battles for us, even though we can't see it. Then God says, take a quick lesson from David when he fought Goliath. King Saul thought Goliath was too big to fight. David thought Goliath was too big to miss. David never looked at how big the enemy was. He kept his eyes on how big his God was, and he won the battle. We need to quit looking at how big our problem or our circumstances are, and we need to put our eyes back on God and allow God to take care of these situations. You might say, "Well, you just don't know what I'm going through." Well, you don't know what I'm going through either. You know, unless God tells us, we don't know what each other's going through, so what we have to do is just go ahead and fight our individual battles, trusting God that he knows exactly what he's doing, which he does, and let him fight our battles for us. God said later on in life, all right, let's start that again. David never looked at how big the enemy was. He kept his eyes on how big his God was, and he won the battle. And later on in life, he knew from whence came his help, and he continually called upon that help, and he never gave in to the enemy. In Psalms 121, verse 1, a song of accents, David said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." David said, "I always look to God. That's where my help comes from." God said, "David always remembered the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." David always remembered that. We need to remember that also. David knew how to praise me before the battle. He knew how to praise me during the battle, and he knew how to praise me when the battle was over. Amen. He was a praiser. Learn from David and do as he did, and you too will become a warrior worth praise and honor as David did. You are a warrior worthy of praise, honor, and glory. You are a warrior that will send the enemy fleeing on all sides. You were born to be a warrior and to win every battle that came your way. We were never born to be defeated. We weren't. We were born to win. And win we shall, as long as we have our faith and trust in God. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, the Bible tells us that all God's children will suffer. There's always going to be a battle. Why is there always a battle? Because the enemy is trying to steal your soul. He does not want you to stay in faith. He's trying to steal your soul so he can take you to hell and torment you. All right? And God said, put on the full armor of God and go forth properly dressed for battle, so that when the enemy charges, he will not win. There will be nothing for him to grab hold of, and he will have to flee on all sides. Put on the full armor of God and go forth properly dressed for battle, so that why? So that when the enemy charges, he will not win. Not win. There will be nothing for him to grab hold of, and he will have to flee on all sides. If you're properly dressed in the armor of God, if you have your faith working, if you have your love walk working, the enemy can't touch you, period. If you're trusting totally and completely in God, the enemy has to walk away from you. He has to. God told me one time, he said, daughter, there's going to come a time when the enemy will just totally walk away from you and never bother you ever again. But until he does, there's a battle. All right? So I know that, and I'm here right now, the battles are waning, and you're going to see that day soon. So God, you know, we've got to be appraisers. And God's getting ready to do a great mighty works. And we have to be free from the snare of the fowler. Because we can't be in battle all the time and winning souls too. Amen? So God has made a way of escape there also. He sent the angels to fight our battles for us. 2 Corinthians 11. Well, okay, let's remember the guy who was born satanic and then he got converted. And before he got converted, he sent a demonic angel to kill this guy. And the angel came back and said, I couldn't touch him. There was an angel encamped around about him, and I couldn't get anywhere near him. God had the battle plan already figured out, and he already had the guy covered, and he wasn't going to be killed. You know, Sister Elaine said about, did the people go to heaven or hell? A lot of people are not taught how to really fight the war. They're not really taught that you can't delve in sin and still go to heaven. And I'm believing that God makes a way for escape for everyone. Amen. I'm really believing he makes a way of escape for everyone because the Word of God said he doesn't want anyone to perish. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul tells the Corinthians, I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, the enemy is crafty. And he's going to work on your mind. He's going to try to get control of that mind in every way he can. Don't allow him to do to you what he did to Eve. God said, another battle you will fight is the battlefield of your mind. There is a war going on and your mind is the battlefield. And I said, if you're one of millions who suffer from worry, doubt, confusion, depression, anger, or condemnation, you are experiencing an attack in your mind. How many of you grab your mind and say, mind in the name of Jesus, straighten up, be the mind of Christ, because Christ's mind doesn't go through all this junk. Amen. And God said, overcoming negative thoughts that come against your mind brings freedom and peace. Overcoming negative thoughts that come against your mind brings freedom and peace. You're going to have to fight and overcome those thoughts. You're going to have to cast those thoughts aside. Don't let them take root. Come on. The enemy will fight you. God said the enemy will fight you on every turn in your mind. He will even fight you when you're in the midst of the battle. He will constantly nag you and try and make you believe you're not going to win the battle that you're in. How many of you are already going through that battle? He is going to try and make you believe I have left and forsaken you. But you must hold on to my promises, for they are always yes and amen. There isn't one of us in here today that when we're going, the enemy causes the battle. Then he comes to cause confusion and try to make us believe his lies, that we're not going to make it. You already know you are the victorious one. So when he comes to that stupidity, don't take hold of it. Don't let it settle in your mind. God said. That's what your word should be. God said. Amen. Philippians 2:5 says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. We need to have the mind of Christ, period. Then God said, children, determine in your mind right now that the enemy will in no way, shape, or form win any battle, no matter where it comes from. All right, while you're sitting there right now, he says, children, determine in your mind right now that the enemy will in no way, shape, or form win any battle, no matter where it comes from. Why do you think there's so much confusion in the world? Why do you think there's so much darkness out there right now? Why do you think that you're just seeing things that you never ever dreamt you'd ever see? It's because the enemy has a battle going, and he's trying to win the battle in our minds. He's trying to take our minds over. God said, my word tells you to, in Romans 12, 2, my word tells you, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can choose our thoughts and think things on purpose. We can choose our thoughts and think things on purpose. We do not have to just think about whatever falls into our minds. How many of you, you're just going about your day just as happy as a bug in a rug, and all of a sudden this dumb thought comes to your mind. You say, now where did that come from? And why am I thinking that? I refuse to think about that in the name of Jesus. That thing's done with. It's in the past. It's been thrown into the sea of forgiveness. Satan, get out of my mind. And then you start singing. Start singing and praising God. Amen. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he, a man, thinks in his heart, so is he. I like to say it like this, where the mind goes, the man follows. Amen. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know we are God's children. Do we not? Then the enemy has no place in us. Then our mind is no longer even his battlefield, because we now have the mind of Christ. God, it dwells within us. I was praying with somebody over the phone last night, and God said, I want you to put a glass of protection around about them and tell them that from this moment forth, the enemy can no longer attack their mind the way he has been. And I saw the enemy come and run right smack dab into that glass and bounce off. And then, the Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. So that enemy's done with the harassment he's been doing to her mind. But see, God said, this is the battle plan. You speak a glass of protection around about her. And then God did the rest. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Church, we need to stop looking at the thing that's going on in the world and dying with the world. We need to know what's going on, and we need to pray about it, but we don't have to get involved in it. We don't have to die in it. We don't have to get in that mud pie with them. Somebody has to keep a level head. Somebody has to stay with Christ. Somebody has to be there to rescue all the others that have not been taught and who are falling into the web of the enemy. Why not it be you? What God wants to know from you this morning is, are you a warrior or are you not? Are you a fighter or are you a wimp? If you're really a warrior, then you're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to win every battle from this day forward. And you are not going to allow the enemy to come into your mind and keep harassing you and harassing you until he takes you back from whence you came. God said you can no longer go back from whence you came. You're either in or you're out. No more excuses. If I'm hearing God say, if you're a mighty man of war, then fight the good fight of faith. Refresh and renew your mind every morning is what he's saying. If you know that the enemy is using your mind as a battlefield, every morning before you ever get out of bed, refresh and renew your mind in Christ Jesus. You must trample on the devil's head. You must let him know that you are in control and he's lost. Do you know there's billions of dollars floating around out there? A lot of God's people are sitting in poverty when they don't have to. They could send an angel to bring some of them billions to you to help you in your time of need. Because God said that he would supply our every need, did he not? Then why do we not use those weapons of warfare that are in there to supply our every need? If you're a child of God, if you're walking in righteousness, if you're doing everything God's called you for to do, you're obedient to God, then you have a right. Then you have a right to call upon God. And here's how I did it this weekend, because I had a lot of phone calls. I say, God, I want you to bring an angel to your throne room. I want you to give that angel instructions and then send them to that person with those instructions and help that person in their time of need. Because God said the angels are waiting on for assignment, right? And so then somebody's got to, and they say, people go to heaven and say the angels stand with their arms crossed because nobody's calling on them. So I said, okay, there's angels there and we're supposed to call upon them, supposed to do our work for us. And that's how I've been praying. And I feel a perfect peace. Then I forget about the situation because I've already given it to God. He's already instructed the angel and the angel's already taken it to the person. Now it might be like a Daniel thing. When the angel leaves heaven, another angel from the demonic world might fight them for a day or two, but they're going to get through. The angel got through for Daniel, right? Then they're going to get through for you and I. Quit believing that you cannot have the same privileges that the people in the Bible had. What God did for them, he wants to do for us. God told me years ago, as I was for Moses, as I was with Moses, I am with you and I'm going to do the same for you as I did for Moses. And so I went back and I studied all about what God did for Moses. I said, hey, that's a pretty good deal, Lord. You know, I stand on that. God, you told me that as you did for Moses, you were going to do for me all the days of my life. Get working. Do for me what you did for Moses. I use what God tells me and I take it to him. And I see results every time. How do you fight your battles? That song we were singing there, that talks about fighting your battles, didn't it? That one song we sang. And I was thinking that this morning we should be singing that today, seeing as how God was talking about the battlefield. They were telling us how to fight our battles. And it was through worship, wasn't it? You know, those people, that little boy was dying. And God gave that man that song. It was praising him, that little boy lived. So what in your life is dying? You might just, if I was you, I'd really take it to the throne of grace with a song. And I'd watch God resurrect it. Because God told me he wants to resurrect everything. That might be in a prophetic word that he gave me that we posted. He wants to resurrect everything that the enemy has stolen from us. Everything, not just one or two. So what do you expect from God? I want you to think about that right now. What do you expect from God? Do you expect full resurrection? Or just one or two things? Do you expect him to give you the battle plans? Or are you going to still make all of your own battle plans? Come on. Your battle plans aren't going to work. I'm going to tell you right now, your battle plans are not going to work. None of mine ever worked. None. You know, I have some of my, I have a couple of people in my home that, you know, are on drugs and they would come and say, oh, you know, and the sweats and everything else, you know, and they would complain. And I just sat and listened. So then one day they came and they said, I need to go to detox. I said, where do you want to go? Now, if I would have suggested that, they wouldn't have went. But they came and said, I really need to go to detox. And so they went to detox. This is how God works. I found out, keep your lips shut. Trust God, and he works everything out for his good, for your good and his glory. So it's up to each one of you in here this morning. What are you going to do in the battlefield? Are you going to let God fight the battle? Are you going to let God give you the battle plans? Or are you going to use your own? And God said your own script isn't going to get you anywhere. All right. Some of you in here, you've already messed up. You've already made up your own battle plans, and now you're in a mess. And things aren't going to work out the way God really, they'll work out, but not the way God wanted them to. They would be perfect if you let God do it. But you can't stay there either. You have to say, God, I'm so sorry that I stuck my little finger in there and my whole fist or whatever you did and messed up your battle plans. But God, undo my mistake. And he will. He really will. Father God, I thank you and I praise you right now. What God wants to do in the altar call this morning is some of you just have to let go. You just have to let go of what you perceive to be correct. You just have to let go and let God. And you have to promise God that from this point on, you will never, ever take another step unless you and He have sat down and made out the battle plans. And if that's one, if that's you in here where you want God to be the one to take control, total control of your life, and you won't do anything unless God tells you to do it, then God wants to give you that anointing that you'll, the altar's open, and God wants to give you that anointing to help you yield all to Him. Not just one or two things, but all to Him.